Hello and welcome to Front Page Radio with your host, international author, broadcaster, and journalist Dan Wooding, the founder of Assist Ministries and the Assist News Service. Dan, who was born in Nigeria of British missionary parents, was raised in England and later worked for some of Great Britain's largest newspapers. He has been a journalist covering the world for some 47 years now, with a focus on persecuted Christians and missions. And now, here's Dan Wooding with today's guest.
Welcome to today's program, and I am talking to you from North Wales. I'm here with my son, Peter Wooding, and his daughter, my granddaughter. Her name is Abigail Wooding, and they have a wonderful story to share with us about a recent trip they made to Ukraine. So first of all, Pete, thanks for being on the program.
Great to be with you.
And Abigail, this is your very first radio interview. Are you nervous?
A little, yeah.
Well, we're so delighted both of you can be on. Ukraine, you've been going there for quite a few years with Mercy Projects, which is run by Jeff Thompson there in Murrieta. But tell us first of all a little bit about the work there in Conotop. It's called the Hearts of Love Center. What sort of kids does it cater for, Pete?
It's special needs kids, so it's a remarkable story because there's nothing quite like it in Ukraine. So it was started by an amazing lady called Lena Yushchenko, who had a special needs daughter herself. And she would walk past this building and keep praying that God would provide this building for her to help other mothers like hers and parents with special needs children. But what happened initially was, because of her Christian faith, other parents with special needs children felt drawn to her and wanted to get support and advice. But it was, her house just wasn't big enough. And then Jeff Thompson from Mercy Projects, our CEO, was approached about helping them buy this abandoned building. And that was over 10 years ago. And then in 2008, I took my first team there and we did our first summer camp. So this summer, taking Abigail with me was to mark the sort of special decade of outreach that we've done with these special needs children. And they vary from autistic children, Down syndrome children, people with learning disabilities, others that have no learning disabilities, but have physical challenges like have lost a limb, liver problems, things like that. So it's a range of people from the age of like 4 or 5 right up to those that we've helped to go into university. So it's been a wonderful long-term project, and to see them grow up over these 10 years, we saw many of them that were on the very first camps this past summer, seeing them going off to university, getting amazing jobs as engineers, that was quite special.
I understand for special needs kids, it's pretty tough in Ukraine.
Yeah, when we first used to go, they were isolated. They live in these tower blocks where they all share one floor. They don't even have their own kitchen. And if they didn't have this center, they'd have nowhere else to go. Countless times we've spoken to the parents of these children. They try to take them to schools, kindergartens, even ones for special needs children, and they were just rejected. They couldn't cope with them. But something about what they do at the Hearts of Love Center seems to be able to impact these children and give them different lives. So there's one boy called Sasha. I went to his home and they said when he first came to the center, he was like a hurricane. He was just uncontrollable, ripping out doors and destroying everything everywhere where he went. And I interviewed the mother in their apartment and it was remarkable because he sat there so calmly doing jigsaw puzzles on his smartphone app, very calmly. But it's because of the love of this center, the patience that they give with them. They tried every school possible. This was like the last resort for them. And yet Sasha is just this incredibly calm boy now, very caring, loves to take care of the house. So, you know, there's countless, hundreds of stories like that.
Now, you took your second daughter, Anna Beth, a few years ago to teach dancing. How did she cope with it?
Yeah, it was challenging. I think like Abigail will share with you, one of the hardest things is the language barrier. They mostly speak Russian, a lot speak Ukrainian. And so it's so hard when you're sat with these children, you just can't communicate with them. But there are so many things you can do that kind of build that bridge that help you connect with them. And so Anna is passionate about dancing. She's a professional dance teacher now. So she taught them a Crystal Lewis song that they did the choreography for. And it was amazing because by the end of the week, despite all the challenges Anna faced, the food and having to share a room with other people in this center, she got these children to perform this Crystal Lewis dance, and the proud look of the parents' faces was just made it so worthwhile. It really had an impact on her. Sadly, not long after that camp, the war broke out in Ukraine, and so this year was the first time since then, 2012, that we were able to go back.
Now, Abigail, this is your debut in radio. Your dad's a very experienced radio man. I've been doing this for about 50 years now, but why did you agree to go? You've probably heard that there had been a war there. It was a totally different country. What persuaded you to go?
Probably because my sister went in 2012. So the fact that she went, I knew straight after that that I was dying to go. And because Dad always went, I kind of felt safe anyway because I was going with my dad. And I didn't really worry about any of the other things because I know I just wanted to go there to just have, like, a new experience and meet these people.
So when you got on the flight, I understand you flew from, was it Manchester to Frankfurt to Kiev? Were you nervous? Were you frightened?
No, I wouldn't say I was nervous, just more excited. I was more, because I didn't know what to expect or anything, so it's kind of just been thrown into like the darkness. But
so when you arrived, what time in the morning was it?
One in the morning. But that we had a bus that came from the airport to the center, and it was so rickety because the roads are all have holes in them and everything. So we're trying to sleep on the bus while it's moving around, and I'm lying on these seats just trying to using this one little pillow just to try and sleep. So that wasn't fun.
Did you wonder what on earth have I let myself in for?
Yeah, definitely.
Now, let me paint the picture now. Pete, you went there last year and you went to Calvary Chapel of Kiev, run by George Markey and Sharon Markey, who we know very well. How is it they got involved, and also CBN, with this particular camp?
Oh, it's a wonderful story of all these connections. So after 2013, when we took our last team there and the war broke out, Calvary Chapel Kiev and all the Calvary Chapel churches across Ukraine decided to take over running the camps. And they'd already started running this amazing Superbook Club run by CBN.
What's Superbook?
So it's a cartoon series, and then they produce resources to teach Bible stories. So they started this Saturday morning Superbook Club where the team from Kiev will get the train every week to Konotop and run this club.
Now, how far is Konotop?
It's a good couple of hundred miles, and it's about 3 or 4 hours on the train each week. So it's a long journey. And so they carried on doing the camps. And then I thought, because it's the 10th anniversary of the first trip we took, why don't we see if we can, for the first time, work together? So I visited the Calvary Chapel Kiev and met this other couple that had been running these Superbook clubs and camps for the last 5 years. And they said, yeah, let's give it a try. So there was 8 of them, and then just 3 of us from the UK, myself and Abigail, and a wonderful Chinese teacher who teaches in North Wales called Leif Zhao. What a wonderful name.
Wow. Now, you also met Steve Weber, the head of CBN in Kiev, and he shared with you an amazing story about his connection with Assist in our early days.
Yeah, this was remarkable. I did a Facebook Live interview with Steve Weber for CBN News. And before we went live, he was just telling me the story that when you started Assist Ministries, particularly the Pen Pal project to Russia, he was involved in sending the Bibles and partnering these new Christians with the Christians from the West. Probably a lot of people that are listening or may remember that story of the Bibles that you were sending from your offices in Garden Grove. And then he was organizing this team of hundreds in Moscow. to get these Bibles and these letters of discipleship out to these new Christians. So it was very moving to hear that other side of the story I'd never heard before.
So here you are now, you arrive in Conotop, pretty exhausted. What was the first impression? Was it daylight by the time you arrived?
Yeah, like just early morning, so yeah. It was light, yeah. But I think the first impression was the facility. I thought it was a lot better than what I thought. It was definitely bigger than what I thought. Because I walked in and I was like saying to leave, wow, this is so much bigger than I thought it was. But so that was nice, seeing that this is what we would where we would be staying.
Now, did you have to share a room with someone?
Yeah, I shared a room with Leif.
Yeah.
And the translator, Xenia. Yeah.
So that wasn't too bad for you. Did you sleep when you finally arrived?
Yeah, so I had a little nap and then we got up. And then we went into the hall and all the kids came. And then they had performances of like the Ukrainian dances. Mm-hmm. And then because it was the 10th anniversary, they were going through all the people that had come. They had like a PowerPoint. So that was nice to watch. But I was so tired. So yes. I was just trying to get through it. But it's still nice to watch.
And was there one particular kid that you were particularly attracted to during that time?
Well, the thing is, on the first day, I really struggled because there wasn't really anyone that would come up to me or kind of speak to me, because I think the Ukrainian team had to come, and because all the kids knew them because they'd been coming previous years. The first day was kind of them greeting them, and they weren't really speaking to us because obviously they can't even speak to us. So after that day, I was feeling a little bit homesick and a bit like, why am I even here? I didn't see the point of me being here. So I kind of prayed about it after the first day, just to ask if like I could at least have one kid that could come up to me or anything. So then the day after, it was a lot better because not only did like one kid come up to me, there were many kids that would just come and hug. And I remember one of the girls, I think I made her laugh during the worship because I was trying to do all the hand gestures to do with it, but I was kind of over exaggerating. So I made her laugh and then she just kept giving me hugs because I ended up wanting to hold my hand. So that was really sweet. But probably I liked the best. I would play basketball with some of the teenagers, some of the boys. And that was really nice because I didn't even have to speak to them, but I could, like, you know, play this game with them and stuff like that. So that was nice.
Oh, that's great. Now, you haven't been on a mission before, had you? I mean, you've been over to America and stayed with Norma and myself, but as far as I know, you hadn't been on a mission before.
Well, I've been to South Africa.
Oh, that's right.
So that
was with the school, though,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, that was his school. So it's probably the first thing that I've done, like, away from school or anything. But that was, even though I'd done that, because that was just, I was coaching sport for, like, these kids that were underprivileged. It's kind of a new experience to kind of teach kids from another culture and a different environment with people with, like, special needs and stuff like that. So it was a completely different experience from the South Africa trip that I did.
Mm. What advice were you giving Abigail, you know, because this is a totally different thing. I mean, she'd been to South Africa, obviously, with her school, but this was with not only a different society, but a bunch of kids that are going through some pretty rough stuff. I mean, how did you advise her to cope with it?
I think the thing I said to Abigail, and what I always say to team members that come from the West, is that don't worry about the language barrier, because the fact that you just came has an impact in itself. Just to sit there quietly with a child, with them on your lap, or I was giving these kids piggybacks, they just love to climb on you, because so many of them are lacking role models in their family, a lot from broken families, particularly those with special needs children. Often the fathers can't cope and they abandon them, so they don't have a father figure. So it was wonderful to have young guys on the team that are like an older brother or an uncle that they're missing. And so the advice I give is that the Ukrainians are so good at running these camps, but just the fact that you've come all the way from the UK says so much in itself. So that's one thing, is the language barrier. The other is just flexibility is the name of the day, because things can change. I mean, we didn't know that they were going to put on this whole presentation for us the day we arrived, literally a few hours after we've just arrived. We thought the camp was starting the next day. So you just have to go with the flow and just ask for God's grace and strength to just get through each day. But we are so obsessed with schedules in the West that you just have to be completely flexible to be open to whatever God wants you to do next.
Now, probably there are people listening to this, Pete, who know that there's been some sort of war with Russia, but don't really know very much about it. Can you just, in a few words, explain what the war was all about, or what's still all about?
So there's good news and bad news. The good news is Kiev is completely calm now. The whole revolution was called Maidan. And if you go in the main square where it all happened, there's like a memorial there. It's quite moving to see these pictures of all the people that died. They call them the Heavenly Hundred. And it was all about their independence from the Russian invasion that was happening on the border. And Russian separatists took over many of the towns on the border, like Donetsk. So the good news is Kiev is very calm. Most of the country is, although economically it's been hit really badly. I was shocked how much the rate of exchange has gone down by like 400%. It's lost the value of the exchange rate. But the bad news is, and this is what people don't know because they call it like the invisible war, is that fighting is still going on, but just along the border area. So I've been there twice and it's quite shocking. It's like going into a ghost town. You see abandoned tanks, mortar shells on the sides of roads. You hear explosions constantly going on. Through the night, these Ukrainians trying to defend their territory, but they don't have nighttime vision, so they can't really see what's happening, and so people are still being killed. And what's remarkable, though, is that in the midst of this, ministry is going on. So Mercy Projects is supporting some amazing pastors that go right into the war zone and are like military chaplains. So they take aid to the soldiers, they share the gospel with them, they pray with them, they visit families and take food supplies, because the poorer families in these areas have no choice. They have to stay. They can't afford to move to Kiev or wherever it's safe. So they're stuck there. So in the midst of all this fighting that's still going on, ministry is happening as well.
Were you very far in Konotop from the war zone?
Yes, it's quite far, so it was very safe, no problem.
Okay, that's great. Now, while you were there, Abigail, what did you teach the kids? I mean, I know you had the language problem, but you probably had a little bit of help with interpreters, but what were you really there for?
Well, whilst I was there, the main group that I stayed with, because the Ukrainian team were already like kind of in charge of different groups, I stayed with the special needs group because the other groups were just, you know, don't really have like, I was with like the people with like autism and stuff like that. So I was kind of anxious about that because I didn't know how to like be with them and stuff like that. But then as I was with the group more, it was kind of nice because they were kind of special needs. You didn't really have to say a lot. You didn't have to have a conversation with them. All you had to do was just look after them. Because I also did crafts with them. Every day I did like a craft session with them. So sometimes the crafts would be good. Sometimes it, you know, would be a bit more difficult. Sometimes I was literally just making it for them because they were putting the glue in their mouth or something like that. But it was nice because it was just seeing how, like, one thing I found interesting was that there were three boys that all had autism, but you treat them in completely different ways. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that I liked learning, was just that these kids are so, like, in an individual way, you have to kind of see how you interact with them and things like that. So I liked learning that. But then I also played basketball with some of them. I wasn't really teaching because one boy was basically teaching me because he was amazing at it. But But yeah, it was kind of just that. And then I would just be some of the teenagers I got on with, because they would pull the translator over and then try and speak to me and ask these questions, because they hardly know, the amount of English they know is probably as much as I know Welsh.
Yeah.
So it was more, they were asking me, so what's your favourite movie? And then I had to answer that. So,
Now, your dad and your uncle Andrew, my oldest son, were both with Youth with a Mission, YWAM. And we wondered if you'd thought of maybe joining YWAM for a short-term training session?
I have. So after sixth form, instead of going to uni, I'm going to take a gap year and then hopefully do 6 months DTS.
That's a discipleship training school.
Yeah, so I'd love to do that, just to kind of learn more about, you know, the gospel and see exactly what I want to do, because I definitely want to do more missionaries or work with one of the Christian charities. So that'd be a nice way to start off.
Is there a particular base that you want to go to?
No, not yet. I haven't decided properly.
Okay. Well, your dad met your mum there at a YWAM base. Some people call it, what's it, Young Women Without Men or something?
Young Women After Men.
Oh, Young Women After Men.
What would
be your advice to Abigail, and maybe anybody else listening to this, to go on a YWAM discipleship training school?
I'd say just go for it. It's the most life-changing experience. It turned my life around. What's great is the DTS, Disciples Training School, is primarily a 12-week lecture phase where you stay in a Youth with a Mission base, and you just learn so much sharing life with people from so many different nationalities, different church backgrounds, but also the teaching really gets you to deal with issues from your past, the Father Heart of God. And then you're trained in street evangelism, which was the scariest thing for me, because then you put it into practice. They really throw you in the deep end in YWAM. It's not just theory, because then you go on a six-week mission trip. We went to Denmark, and we were doing crazy street theatre work and evangelizing in the nightclubs and stuff like that. So it really is exciting, and I just wish I could do it all again. So I would encourage anyone that has that time, that gap year like Abigail has. By the way, sixth form is a bit like the last year in high school, for those that don't know what sixth form is.
You also went to Africa, I believe, on a trip.
Yeah, so we had the option after the DTS, which probably YWAM still does, is to go on a longer-term mission trip. So we spent 9 weeks in Tanzania, which was quite scary, because this was the days before internet and social media. So you really have no access to the outside world. And this was real YWAM style, sleeping in coaches overnight. If Abigail thought that it was bumpy, the bus ride from the airport to Konatop, wait till you've tried going on an overnight bus through Africa with chickens on board and sleeping in mud huts.
Abigail, what would you say was the biggest lesson you learned from the Lord by going on this trip to Ukraine?
Probably the fact that even though you can still have a connection with someone or with people or kids without even using words, that you can just show love in different ways, and that, like my dad said before, that even just being there or just being in someone's presence, you can make a difference. And that, you know, God can give a lot of opportunities if you ask.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, you live in Wales. Just explain to the listeners a bit about Wales, because we've just moved here. We're amazed that the street signs are all in English and Welsh. Do you speak any Welsh?
I'm not the best at it. I mean, I got a B in Welsh for GCSE, so that's probably the best.
Because I don't think people realise that the United Kingdom is actually four countries.
Yeah.
It's England, Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales. And, you know, we've just found it fascinating that this part of Britain is actually bilingual. People speak this different language. And Abigail speaks a little bit of it. And her family were all born in Wales. Pete, for you, was it a big shock coming here?
No, not really. It's very similar to England. It's the only time I really hear the difference is when my wife speaks to my mother-in-law in Welsh, particularly if they don't want to know what that I'm. They don't want me to know what they're talking about, because I've lived here nearly 24 years, and I'm sad to say I hardly know any Welsh. So yeah. I only know bore da, which means hello.
Well, final question. What would you say was the highlight of your trip to Ukraine?
My highlight, it sounds bad, but probably the last day when we were actually leaving, but even though that was sad, it was kind of surreal seeing how like upset and emotional a lot of like the teenagers were just to say goodbye and stuff. So I was giving them all the hugs, because you don't realize until that point when you're actually leaving and you've got to say goodbye is that, like I said before, the impact you actually make. Because I didn't realize that they would even be that bothered about us leaving or anything.
Yeah.
So that was kind of nice and upsetting to see, but yeah.
Well, I'd like to thank Peter, my younger son, who is also a broadcaster himself, and Abigail, his lovely daughter, who has recently been on this trip to Konotop in Ukraine. People want to know more about Mercy Projects, Pete. Where do they go?
They can go to the US website, mercyprojects.org, or our UK site, mercyprojects.co.uk. We'd love to hear from people if you're interested. We don't just do mission trips to Konotop. We do summer camps in Kiev. We do camps in Georgia as well. So we'd love to hear from you. I think our next camp is coming up in January 2019. Where we do winter camps. So if you want to come and experience a Ukrainian winter, that's quite an experience as well.
Well, Pete, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And thank you. Abigail, the same. Well done.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Front Page Radio with international journalist Dan Wooding. If you would like a free subscription to the Assist News service, log on to www.assistnews.net. And if you would like to write to Dan, send an email to assistnews@aol.com. Tune in again for another edition of Front Page Radio on this same station.